There's an article today on study, I think by the Berkeley University in California, stating that, how do they put it, non-religious people are more caring than religious people, indicating that it's something I've been trying to share for ages, and there it is in a study. So that was one thing. And the other thing I started this morning is, again, this thing I have that I want to get over. What we need on planet Earth is a circle of wise people to run the Earth. And we would need some magic power to be able to do that. But what they would do is send the 20%, the crooks and the people that don't have empathy, and send them. Or we'll make a great big island in the ocean, totally isolated, and we construct this island for them, and it grows things itself, and put them all there, and they can all live on their own, and then leave for the 80% to live in harmony and love. So all the dictators go there, all the crooked politicians go there, all the heads of the pharmaceutical companies and everybody who's crooked all go and live on this island. The people out of the prisons and the wise people would check to make sure everybody's has committed what they said to be committed. But this isn't a punishment. And from the 80%, people who felt to would volunteer to go to this island, to be available, to be with these people, to help them to see their behavior and see if they want to change, if they want things to happen. So people would go there, volunteer to go there. So it's not a punishment. It's just saying, you are this type of person. And actually, if you put them all together, you see, they can all see their behaviors reflecting in other people, like marriage. So, Diane, you just asked, what is Richard Branson doing with his 12 wise people he's getting together? I see that more on a worldly level. And what I'm talking about is people like you who have gone beyond the self. So they no longer need to be acknowledged, to have money, to be a success for them, for other people or for themselves. They're in balance. And then, you see, you were just saying, when somebody asks you a question, you're not good at talking about yourself. As I see it, everybody's unique. And when people wake up, they're unique in their awakening as well. At the source, the place we can't talk about, I would say it's all uniform and in balance at the source. But out of there comes who we are in this dimension, and we're all unique. So if we have this group of people, everybody has something different to offer in different perspectives for different situations. And so in this circle of people who are in balance, there's still uniqueness there. And then just outside of there, we need people who may still be what we say in their heads, but if they've run big companies and run it well. I'm not sure about people like Steve Jobs, because I think he was a bit ruthless, and the same with Bill Gates. But there are people who are successful in running big companies, and they are running it with caring. Caring for their employees, caring for the products they're producing so that they're suitable for people, not overpricing them, not building in obsolescence. They're genuine genuine people who are successful. Now, the people in the circle can't do that because they're beyond it. They don't have any motivation. So they'd be the source of that energy connected with these capable people. It is going to be these executives that can carry out what needs to happen on the planet. And one of the biggest things that needs to happen is education. We've got to give true education to people. We've got to develop an education system that recognizes each one individually, small classrooms, well-rewarded teachers who are devoted and not doing it out automatically or as a career, but really care for who they're teaching, the way they need to be taught on the level that's available to them. Not to teach them anything, because we've got nothing to teach. Look at our planet. We can't teach anybody how to run a planet, but we can bring out their unique creativity, each one. Then the other thing is, in the less developed countries, we've got to somehow be with them, send people, caring people out. Not missionaries are doing it so they go to heaven. People who really care for people. And there are people like that who really care. Go out there, be with these less educated, less developed people to try and get over to them. We're going to take more care now. We're going to teach you to take more care of yourselves, to be more productive, so you don't have to have so many children, because so many of them die before they grow up, and you want somebody there to take care of you when you get old. We're going to change the system. You won't have to keep producing children as insurance for your old age, and insurance because some of them are going to die. So we need people out there to be with them, with them. And these what we call undeveloped people are very sensitive. They can pick up when you care and when you're teaching, or whether you're trying to get them to. I was in Africa for all that time and watching the missionaries. They bribed them into being Christians by saying, if you wear shoes, if you wear clothes, if you worship Jesus, you can use our hospital. It was bribery. And if you don't, you can't come. So all that has to go, and let people be free. Do your thing, and look, and help them to see alternatives. We've got to talk to the witch doctors in the villages, because they have a lot of power and they're still very stuck in old ways. And often they're not that wise. They're stuck in old ways. They have a function, but often if a tribe is in an area that has drought, the witch doctor won't let them move. When I was in Africa, we tried to move villages out of drought areas into places where they would be more successful, but they wouldn't move. Their traditions, their witch doctors, they say, no, this is our area. And it's true, change is most disturbing. And the missionaries did not bring trust, so they didn't trust. Even though we were working for the Red Cross, that was not religious, and the people, the volunteers, VSOP and the Peace Corps, really were there for the people, but they didn't have the authority, they didn't have the backing to talk to these people to say, we are really caring for you. We don't want anything from you. Let us take you to somewhere that will be better for you. And we've got all the technology, we've got all the knowledge, we've got the people. But what we need to do is get these 20% that are ruling the world just for their own. I can't understand it. People have $10 billion when they couldn't even spend $1 billion in their lifetime, still being ruthless to get more. It's an addiction. It's a sickness. These people all going to need to live together and let the caring people come. And for that, we do need some wise, balanced people to be the source of this. And then we need these caring administrators, and eventually it will go flow out into everybody. When there's a flood or a tsunami, the majority of people take care of each other. Just a few go and steal things from people's houses. Just a few, that's all. The majority take care of each other. The stories from Japan are amazing, how they looked after each other, risked their own lives to take care of other people. You can see that on the web over and over. Not mainstream, but on the web, where people really do care for each other. That's what we need to support. And these other few, not to be against them. This is where they are in their lives. And it may well be that they're there to help us to see that dormant part, or that part that is not yet in balance in ourselves. So when we judge anyone, it means what we're seeing out there has not been seen in ourselves and accepted and allowed. And once that happens, there is only love and caring. My theory about seemingly hopeless to get 12 wise people together is this. There are lots of wise people on this planet. And they're so wise, they're not telling people they're wise. Because as soon as they put out, like Jesus and Buddha and Socrates, as soon as you put it out, you get persecuted. So they're staying quiet. And they're waiting for this shift, this tipping point in energy that is coming. It is coming. And my guess is, as soon as this tipping point happens, out they'll pop. They'll come out from all over. And once we've produced a space for them, they'll appear. That's what I really feel. So you're saying that you can imagine that 12 people or more wise people can come together, but you can't imagine them having enough influence to make a major shift. Because you're right, the 20% have 1,000 times more motivation than the 80%. They're the ones that go out and do things. So they have the power and they have the influence at the moment. So when we look with our logical mind, we have to go to the past to see what's possible and project that past into the future about what's possible. And it doesn't look possible, it looks impossible. And that's why I said, unless we have some magical power, unless the ETs come and say, look, all you've got to do is go on your computer screen and say, remove that person to the island, and they will be physically removed by some. But it doesn't have to be that. You see, my feeling is something is coming to this dimension that we cannot imagine, because we haven't had it happen in the past. And if it hasn't happened in the past, all we can do is put the past projected to the future to say, what could possibly happen? Well, this thing that's coming, I feel, is beyond whatever's happened in the past. And it's something we can't imagine. But somehow, I can feel it. It's as though, yes, it is coming. West Side Story. Something's coming, something's good. Something's coming. It will be there. Something's coming, I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. The air is humming, and something great is coming. Come on, deliver to me.